passage, but we want to look at today here for a few moments of the armor of God, the whole armor of God. And we'll pick up our reading in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Multiple times in this passage, we see the command to stand. We see in verse 14, it says, stand therefore. Therefore is for that reason because of God we can stand, and the attacks will come, and for that reason we must stand. We are to remain steadfast. That's what is to stand, is to be steadfast, faithful, fully committed. And before we go through the elements of the armor of God, we want to look at a few things, and you can keep a finger or a bookmark there in Ephesians. We'll flip back and forth there frequently, but if you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. We're to confess before the world who we serve. And we can claim Christ because he first claimed us. Because he loved us when we were yet unlovable. He saved our soul. He made us his. He called us into his fold. He made us part of his family. At that time, when the Lord saves our soul and brings us into his family, at that time it becomes our responsibility to profess our faith, to proclaim his name. And you know what's so amazing here is in that verse where it says, wherefore, or whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. We confess Christ among the people of this earth. We proclaim his name to people we run into or in his services, in his house. And we honor God in this world. We claim Christ before men. And what does Christ say he'll do? These are words of Christ here. He says that if you do that, if you confess me among the people, he says, I will confess you before the Father in heaven. Isn't that great as we share the gospel, as we profess his name, as we proclaim what Christ has done for us, that God the Father knows us. Christ claims us before God, the creator of the world, the Lord of lords. He knows who we are and loves us, not because we're worthy, but he loves us because his son died for us and confesses us as one of his own. And how great that is and how humbling that is and what a great responsibility. And so we think, how does that relate to the armor of God? Well, if we look at up just a few verses there in verse 24, it says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Oh, they despised God. They hate the master. So what are they going to think of his servants? What are they going to think of us? They're going to despise us too. You know, Christ makes that very clear in the scriptures that we will be despised in this world. We will be hated. That's what we're facing. And the Lord knows this. And that's why He prepares us. That's why He gives us what we need to stand in this world. If we look back in our text in Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We're not facing just mere men. We will be hated by those of the world. But we're facing spiritual wickedness. We're against those principalities. Satan, the power of darkness, but the powers of which we have not the strength to withstand on our own. We would fail. We're not self-sufficient. God is the only self-sufficient being ever. He was before the foundation of this whole world. But He gives us that which we need to stand. He gives us that whole armor of God. Because we can't stand on our own. We don't have what is needed. You know, and so as we look into this, as we think about armor, you know, you think about a soldier's armor in those that been in the military or you know, we think about our military, we've all seen them. You know, they have an armor that prepares them for battle, that is given to them. And you know, we're in a spiritual battle every day in this life. We face a foe bigger than us. But we can be strong in the power of His might, as verse 10 says. And it's called the armor of God because He both prepares it and bestows it. It's not our armor. He gives it to us. It's not something that we could have in and of ourselves that we can stand. We can't stand on our own strength. So the armor's not of us, it's of God, but we must wear it. It is our only hope. You know, verses 11 and 13 both say that ye may be able to stand. It's the sole reason we can stand is because the armor of God. And it takes the whole armor as we look through this, as we go through some of these here, we'll talk about that a little bit. But we'll see that some of the armor is defensive armor, and there's also offensive armor. There's armor that God gives us for both defense and offense. And before we go through that, turn back to Romans chapter 13 real quick. Goes along with this. Romans 13, in verse 11, it says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Now is the time to armor up. You know, awake, it says, cast off the ways of sin. You know, we are set apart. We have the armor of light. We have the spirit of light within us because Christ gives us that. Christ is the light. He gives us the way in which we walk. Verse 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. You know, give it no room. Don't, you know, the flesh will walk in the way of darkness. That's the natural way for the flesh. It can't help but to do that. And that's what we're born into. But it's saying, take no heed to it. You know, squash it, put it away, and put on the armor of light by putting on Jesus Christ. Because only His armor will do. And so if we look back at Ephesians, like I say, we'll be turning back there quite frequently. The first thing we see as part of the armor of God is in verse 14. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth. The truth. It says girt your loins about with the truth. And when you're thinking about physical armor, that's basically the belt. That's basically what goes around, wraps around the waist. And, you know, if you think about it in sense of armor that a soldier would wear, you know, their gun belt or, you know, the things that they would need. It wraps around their waist. And so we're to surround ourselves with the truth. That truth wraps around us. We serve a God of truth. And the truth that is to surround us, to consume us, it's not a man-made concept, you know. As the Bible says, we won't turn over there, but there's, you know, we don't follow cunningly devised fables. This is the truth. This is what we follow, is the truth of God. And, you know, Jesus, you know, said back in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I mean, there's only one truth. There is the Lord. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The immutability of his counsel. That means his word is unchanging. It cannot change. It is the truth. And so it's impossible for God to lie, it says here. It says twice there, in verse 17 and 18, it brings up the word immutable. You know, it's unchanging. It's set forever. The Lord had set his word true before the foundation of this world. It is our hope. It is our anchor. It's sure and steadfast. He's our great high priest. And so the first piece of armor that we take upon ourselves that the Lord gives us to battle the spirits of wickedness is his truth. And anything that goes against his word is false. You know, it's really just that plain and simple. You know, that's why it's despised and rejected. That's why they hate it. Because it doesn't fall in line with their way of thinking. The truth is already established regardless of who believes it or not. The Lord said it. So regardless of who believes it or not, it doesn't change. It's already set forever. But that's why there's so much hatred for his word and the truth. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, in the second part of that verse 14, we see righteousness. Because it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. And that's not self-righteousness, because we have none. You know, we can't stand. There may be some out in the world today that try to stand in their own self-righteousness, but there is none. We have no self-righteousness. It is only because the sacrifice of Christ that we are made righteous. We are covered by his precious blood, and at that point in time, and the Lord saves us, we are covered. He bestows his righteousness upon us. And that's the only reason any of us, any of the saints from, you know, now or past, or anybody that the Lord may yet save, the only way they have righteousness is because the Lord bestows his precious blood upon them and bestows his righteousness upon them. And 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, when he says flee these things, he's talking about the foolish and hurtful lust which drown men in destruction and perdition, as in verse 9 it says that. And so in verse 11 it's saying, flee these things and follow after righteousness. You know, that's not a natural state for us. You know, we cannot obtain righteousness on our own. The Lord bestows that upon us through the blood of His Son. But that's not a natural state for us. So it is something that we must seek after. We must seek righteousness to stay in righteousness and godliness. That's how we seek to walk and to live. And it's something that we have to work at, because it's not a natural state for our old fleshly sinful nature. And it's not something that was already built inside of us, you know. As they like to say a lot of times, oh, you know, deep down we're all just good people. No, no, we're not. We're all born sinners. And Jesus Christ freely bestows this upon us. He was made sin on our behalf. He was made the sin sacrifice. We can't earn it. We can't earn righteousness. But once He saves us, once He bestows that righteousness upon us, it is our responsibility to continue to seek to live after righteousness, to seek to live after godliness. And it becomes a part of that armor of which God gives unto us to live in this day. Back in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, we see that third piece of armor is the gospel of peace. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That preparation to walk in the gospel. To walk in the way of the Lord. To walk in the way of peace. True peace is only known through Christ. There's no other true peace. We can't obtain it in any other form but through Jesus Christ. You know, we won't turn there, but one of the passages that the Lord has really impressed upon my heart over the past few months, and it's Proverbs 21:31, and it says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know, and that thought of, we must prepare. We have to be prepared to go in to the battle. And that's what is being written here with the whole armor of God and putting on the armor of God. We're preparing. It's not a wondering if there will be a time of battle or struggle or... No, we live in it. We constantly battle against our own fleshly nature. We constantly battle against the wickedness of sin that thus surrounds us daily. You know, we have to take the time to prepare, just as, you know, that horse that is prepared for battle. They make the preparations and they put on the armor and they're ready to ride into battle, but they know whom the safety comes from. They know who their confidence it is. And that safety and that confidence is in the Lord. It's not in any other. We can't obtain it from any other. So we must prepare our hearts and mind to walk in the gospel of which we have received through Christ Jesus. And to with full confidence that victory and that safety we have through Him. You know, we walk with the gospel of peace. And that doesn't mean that all our days will be peaceful. That doesn't mean that we're walking on easy street, because, well, it'll be just the opposite, because we're walking in this world. We're walking amongst those whose natural state is that of wickedness and those that hate the Master. You know, and it says it is enough for us to be as our Master. We're following God. If they hated God, if they hated Jesus, they're going to hate those that follow Him. And that's why He gives us this preparation to live for Him. You know, and there's nothing that we face that will take that gospel of peace from us. We can go through our valleys. We can go through times of hurt and struggle and trial. But we can remain walking confidence in that time, because we're walking in the gospel of peace. We know it ends with victory in Jesus. Just as the song we just sang, we know where the end is for those that are His, and how blessed that is, that one day we'll be there. That's the confidence in what we're walking in, and we're preparing to walk in this day, in this time, with our feet shod as the gospel. And verse 16 there of Ephesians 6, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, it says above all is faith. It's our shield. It's what keeps us. It's our main line of defense. It is what we guard ourselves with, and we keep that shield. It's, you know, our faith in God is the basis of our Christian life. It's what we live by, our faith that we are His, our faith that He called us, that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, and that He cares for us. He is that good shepherd that takes care of our every need, that good shepherd that makes sure we are well taken care of. And that verse, you know, He keeps us, keeps that which we have committed unto Him. You know, when we become one of Christ, we're committed unto Him, and He keeps us. Nobody can pluck us from His hand. We are eternally His. And that faith that He is coming again, that's that eternal hope. That's that faith we have that one day we will be with Christ. And so that's why it says above all faith. It's what we have through faith. Our shield of faith is invincible. The scriptures say there that it can quench, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The scripture says it can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It says ye shall. Ye are able to. You know, when sin does get through, it's never because God failed us. It's because we dropped that shield. We dropped that shield. The shield of faith is able to quench all the fiery darts. But there are times where we fail. There are times where that sin, that wickedness comes through. But that's never through a fault of God. That is solely on our faith and our times of unbelief where we dropped the shield. We lowered our guard. And, you know, Satan loves to take advantage of those opportunities when that guard's down. That's how he works. When we're vulnerable, when we, you know, when that shield drops just a little bit, that's when it's most dangerous for us, because we're susceptible to compromise at that point in time. And we must never compromise on our faith. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. It says, let us who are of the day. You know, this is our day in that we live in 2023. Every generation of saints has their day. Every generation of saints has a time in where they must walk with the breastplate of faith, with the shield of faith. And they must battle the wickedness of sin. Well, today, the world's still spinning. God hasn't come back yet, so this is still our day. Let us properly be geared up, you know. Just as Brother Matt brought out this morning. Our job hasn't changed. Our responsibility, as long as this world is turning, our responsibility remains the same. Every saint has their day. And that walk, that responsibility is to walk the way of the Lord, proclaiming Him, proclaiming His name and His gospel. And it says, let us not only be encouraged in the fact that we have a shield of faith, that through our faith we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked, that God helps us in that, but let us encourage one another in that. Let us edify. You know, verse 11 says, comfort yourselves together. You know, edify, lift up. You know, we share the same faith. Those of us that are called, those of us that are the elect, we share the same faith. The elect of God has salvation and eternal hope and faith in Him. And that's what it takes. It takes faith to live and walk in Christ and to please Him. We won't turn there, but Hebrews says it's impossible to please God without faith. You know, that's why it says, above all, take faith. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. It's through faith and trust in God that we have this next piece of armor as well in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. You know, the helmet of in armor is that which covers the head. Of course, we all know that. And so there's that picture of Jesus Christ, His blood, which covers all of our sin. You know, and I believe just as was preached this morning, that it takes the Holy Spirit working in one's life. And when they recognize their sin and lost and undone condition, and they repent and believe and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. And that's what we have. That's that Jesus paid it all. He is our sin sacrifice. We have that helmet of salvation when that happens. You know, he became sin. He paid a debt that we owed, but we could never pay. You know, and that's why salvation is a part of the armor of God, because as with the other pieces, it's all of Him. You know, nothing we could have done to obtain the helmet of salvation on our own. It's Him that made Himself that sacrifice. Just as every other piece of armor that He gives us is all of Him. Look in over in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. All that, we stand together in that faith, that faith that we have. Unafraid, it says, standing in courage. You know, it says in verse 28, and nothing terrified by your adversaries. That standing unafraid and standing in courage, that's a token of salvation. That's a token of God. You know, that and we not only believe God, we not only have that saving faith in God, but we will also suffer for His sake. You know, Paul's probably the best example of that. And many, we won't take time to turn over there, but we all know the afflictions that Paul went through. But he said he would rather glory in those infirmities, because he knew he was suffering for Christ's sake. He knew he was suffering in his belief. And that just, we can even stand in that. When we suffer for Christ's sake, the Lord gives us that strength to stand in that, because we're not suffering for our wrongdoing. We're suffering for our belief in Him and our salvation in Him. And so we stand strong in that time. And lastly, if you go back over to Ephesians chapter 6, we see that in verse 17, after it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So now we get, you know, all these other pieces of armor that God gives us, that we can stand in the day, stand in the time of wickedness, stand against the wiles of the devil. Now He gives us also our offensive weapon. He gives us our sword. He gives us His divinely inspired Word of God. The absolute truth that He is, that part of the armor of truth, He also is truth in this sword, in the Word of God, in which He gives us. You know, it's truly and divinely all of Him. And that's another thing that people hate about it, is because, you know, people don't like the truth because truth is exclusive by its very nature. If there's a truth, that means there's a false. You know, if something's true, that means there's something wrong. And the truth of God does not accept sin, has never accepted sin, will never accept sin. And that's why it is so fought against. That is why it is so despised. That truth of God, the Word of God, it's not popular. You know, and sometimes it hurts, but it's always in truth. You know, and I thought about this as I was studying through. You know, we think about those that are in the military, or you know, they are trained. They are given a weapon. They are given a gun, and they are charged with knowing everything about it. They have to disassemble and reassemble and clean and care for it. They got to know every single inner working of that weapon, because that is their offense. That is what they have been given, you know. And they know that weapon inside and out. And they take care of it, and they respect it because that's their offense. And we as Christian soldiers, we're charged with the same. He gives us His Word. He gives us our offensive weapon. He gives us the sword, but we must know it. We must study it. We must keep it. We must spend time and take the time to dive into His Word, that we will know the Word of God, that we can use it in the day of battle. And we won't turn there, but I'll read a few verses from Psalms 119 that I wrote down there. Psalms 119 and verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Kept it, stored it. Didn't hide it in his heart to be ashamed of it. That's not what he's referencing there. Hid it in his heart to keep it in the most valued place. Taking every word of God to heart, to use it. Verse 15 says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Meditate and think on God's Word. Spend that time and study. And verse 16 of Psalms 119 said, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Be happy in His Word. Delight that He has given us the sword that we can battle. Stand fast in the day of battle. And let us not forget His Word. Let us keep it in our hearts and our minds. You know, the Lord of God is powerful. The Word of God is powerful, and it must be used to stand in the day of battle. It's a requirement. You know, the whole armor of God is completely of Him and given unto us by Him, bestowed upon us, because He knows what His saints are going to face. He knew everything they'd face back when we read the accounts in the Old Testament. He already knew everything that His saints of old were going to face. And He already knows everything that His saints today will face. And as long as the earth keeps spinning before He comes back, He'll know every single thing that each one will face up until that point in time where He comes to gather us all home. And so that whole armor of God is of Him and given to us. The truth, the righteousness, the gospel, the faith, our salvation, and His Word. And this is just briefly scratched the surface of all those things, but I just wanted to share those today. It's just an encouragement to know what the Lord has given us that we can use to stand, and how He provides. And there is a responsibility there for us to take this armor on, but we don't have to stand alone, because He has given us every single thing we need to stand. And so all of this must be used. We're already assured of the victory. We already know that He's coming back and that we will be with Him forever. But He gives us this to stand in the day until then. May God bless His Word.